In reality television, the people are represented by two separate but equally obsessed attorneys. This is their podcast.
Hi, I'm Ceci.
And I'm Angela.
And this is the Bravo Docket.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
So this is part two of this episode. If you're starting with this one, you should go back to one episode prior and listen to that one first.
All right, so now we're going to read through the complaint. Would you like to start us off?
So starting with paragraph one of the complaint titled Preliminary Statement. Rachel is a former cast member on Vanderpump Rules, a reality television show produced by Evolution Media and broadcast by Bravo Media, an asset of NBC Universal. This case arises from a scandal of epic proportions starting in March 2023, stemming from an affair between Rachel and another cast member, Tom Sandoval. Sandoval, as it became known, went viral and was the subject of extraordinary press coverage, even in the mainstream media. Sandoval injected new life into a previously faltering series, causing its viewership to explode to unseen levels and making its cast members mega celebrities. Due to a narrative deliberately fomented by Bravo, Evolution, and the cast, Rachel became an object of public scorn and ridicule.
To be clear, Rachel has repeatedly acknowledged that her actions were morally objectionable and hurtful to Ariana. She has offered numerous apologies. There is more to the story, however. Lost in the mix was that Rachel was a victim of the predatory and dishonest behavior of an older man who recorded sexually explicit videos of her without her knowledge or consent, which were then distributed, disseminated, and discussed publicly by a scorned woman seeking vengeance, catalyzing the scandal. Rachel ultimately checked herself into a mental health facility and remained there for 3 months while Bravo, Evolution, and the cast milked the interest.
To make matters worse, Rachel was misled by Bravo and Evolution into believing she was contractually barred from speaking out about her mistreatment. As a result, she suffered in silence as Bravo and Evolution watched viewership explode and the rest of the cast enjoyed unseen levels of public recognition and professional opportunity. Meanwhile, Rachel, who was humiliated and villainized for public consumption, remains a shell of her former self, with her career prospects stunted and her reputation in tatters. So this is just the first page of the complaint. What do you think about the first three paragraphs?
Well, you definitely pick up on the fact that the attorneys who wrote this complaint and who are representing her are the same attorneys who have represented Bethany Frankel when she sent her demand letter to Bravo, and most recently Brandy when she sent her letter about Andy. This reads to me like someone is very angry at Bravo, but isn't really focused so much on the claims here. There should be more about Tom.
You know, podcasters and everyone else are going to be talking about it, and here we are. It's definitely crafted in a way to change the narrative a bit about what's been going on. This reads more like a sort of PR type statement.
We also know she has PR sending this complaint to certain people. So, I mean, it tracks.
So the general allegations, the hostile and unsafe working environment on Vanderpump Rules. This case centers on Vanderpump Rules, a reality television series that premiered on Bravo in 2013. The series revolves around the staff at Lisa Vanderpump's restaurants in West Hollywood, Serb Restaurant and Lounge, Pump Restaurant, and Tom Tom Restaurant and Bar. Vanderpump, a British restaurateur and former Real Housewife of Beverly Hills cast member, is a central figure of the series, which focuses on her employees' drama-filled personal and professional lives. The show has aired continuously for over a decade, and its 11th season premiered on January 30th, 2024. Rachel was a cast member on Vanderpump Rules from 2016 to 2023.
Rachel made her first appearance on the show as the girlfriend of cast member James Kennedy, a DJ prone to violent outbursts and grappling with long-standing substance abuse issues and emotional dysregulation. Kennedy would regularly berate Rachel, falsely accused her of cheating and act in a generally unhinged manner. Some of this was captured on camera, some was not. Rachel eventually warned James that she would leave him if he did not stop drinking. However, she soon learned that his despicable behavior was not solely a function of alcohol abuse. At Thanksgiving, with Rachel's family in Arizona, James erupted at Rachel's mother and father and kicked her family dog 4 times in an uncontrollable rage. In 2021, Rachel ended their relationship and broke off their engagement. James's history of violent and dangerous behavior was well known by Bravo, Evolution, and the cast. James once physically assaulted then-cast member Kristen Doughty on camera. The footage, however, never aired. Nor has James faced any repercussions for his actions, which would otherwise be fireable at a minimum, due in part to the intervention of his powerful ally, Lisa Vanderpump, who has served as his protector. Okay, now reading that, I see why people are asking, what can you put in a complaint? This has really nothing to do with her claims.
I understand setting the background or circumstances, but so far, none of this has anything to do with any of the elements of any of the legal claims that we just made. And this isn't an employment lawsuit.
She's not suing James for abuse.
Yeah. In 2021, after 3 seasons as a recurring character, Rachel was cast as a lead. At the same time, however, Rachel was in a vulnerable state due to the breakdown of her engagement with Kennedy, which was catalyzed by his chronic substance abuse, emotional instability, and controlling behavior. While she had previously moderated her alcohol intake because of Kennedy's heavy drinking, Rachel began drinking much more heavily in the aftermath of their breakup. Rachel was encouraged to do so by production and Sandoval, who believed it would make for better television and readily provided alcohol for her consumption.
I mean, this is like taken from everything else that we've been seeing this week. This just feels like it's trying to take a page out of everything that is being thrown at Bravo right now in something that has nothing to do with that. It's just like, why, you know, because these are the same lawyers. It's not the same lawyer that Leah's using, to be clear, but it is the same lawyer as Bethany. So the reality reckoning thing, the Brandy letter, and now this is like, this has no place here. But they're just throwing it in, I think, to maybe strengthen the narrative out there that Bravo feeds everyone alcohol. But this has nothing to do with revenge porn. I'm sorry, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. By season 10, Kennedy had resumed drinking again and picked up a new girlfriend weeks after his breakup with Rachel. All of this caused untold harm to Rachel's mental health, including inducing her to drink more and leaving her vulnerable to what followed. I also feel like just as... because we'll get into this later, but just because it's going to be difficult to, I think, prove causation as to what caused the emotional distress, because she's saying, oh, I had all these other things to be upset about, not like I was perfectly fine, and then this happened and it caused my emotional distress, you know?
Yeah, I think it would have been stronger to not mention any of this.
But I understand wanting to get a story and a narrative out there. I'm not sure how much this helps any of the actual claims. And so it's like you don't know totally what her goal or her attorney's goals were by crafting this complaint in this fashion. But if it's to sort of get a narrative out there, I mean, that's definitely what it appears they're trying to do. So Rachel began confiding in Tom Sandoval, a former bartender at Sir and a cast member since the show's first season. Sandoval had been in a relationship with another cast member, Ariana Maddox, since 2014.
Imbibed and emotionally raw, Rachel began to rely heavily on Tom for emotional support. Tom, in turn, began confiding in Rachel about the dire state of his relationship, describing it as a business partnership and casting its end as foregone. Notwithstanding, Ariana and Tom had been living together in Valley Village, Los Angeles. On or about August 10th, 2022, Rachel and Tom began sleeping together. The affair continued apace as Tom's relationship with Maddox further deteriorated.
I mean, intentions and everything else aside, this is well written. Very well written. It tells a very clearly crafted narrative. So the August 10th, 2022 date, do you remember what that was?
That lines up with the manly night.
Oh, okay. Okay. The boys' night or whatever. Okay.
Oh, sorry. I got manly night from, I listened to Girls Next Level and Hugh Hefner had manly night, different night.
Although purportedly secret, the affair was, in fact, well known to many cast members and suspected by others. I think it's interesting they don't name the cast members too much, but okay. Rachel and Sandoval were not particularly discreet. Rachel is informed and believes, and on such information and belief alleges, that Ariana knew about it as early as fall of 2022. Indeed, in December of 2022, Ariana scolded Rachel and Sandoval for being handsy in public, admonishing them to save the story for season 11. The lawyer speak, where it says Rachel is in paragraph 21, Rachel is informed and believes and on such information and belief alleges that Maddox knew about it, means to me, reading that, that Rachel doesn't have personal knowledge of Ariana saying this, and she is relying on other sources in her beliefs or circumstantial evidence.
Right. So at the time, Vanderpump Rules was facing an uncertain future. Interest among the public had waned and the plot had grown stale. Ariana in particular was reportedly on the chopping block. Let's read this footnote. There's a footnote. Oh, it's a Reality Blurb article from February 3rd, 2024 that says, report, Ariana Maddox was on chopping block on Vanderpump Rules before Scandoval, as she's forced to stay in home with Sandoval for another 4 months. Plus, why they live together. In the absence of a sticky new storyline, there's every reason to believe Vanderpump Rules would have been canceled. Ariana was aware of these pressures as Sandoval and both were heavily invested financially and reputationally in the show remaining on the air. By extension, if their relationship was already on the rocks, and if Sandoval was intent on brazenly carrying out an illicit affair with another cast member, they had every incentive to leverage these salacious threads into the storyline Vanderpump Rules so desperately needed. That is precisely what happened in a series of otherwise unlikely events.
Okay, but if that's true, why didn't they just do it in season 10?
No.
Like, why didn't they?
Right, if they knew it was gonna, yeah.
Yeah, why were they doing the, Rachel is kissing Tom Schwartz and there's love interest there?
Because that definitely wasn't saving the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
That doesn't make sense. Like, why put yourself through kissing Tom Schwartz if, no offense, Schwartz, if, you know, you weren't actually interested in him and then inducing Katie's rage against you unnecessarily if this was all a conspiracy or something?
I don't know. Like, the way this reads, it reads like the next paragraph is going to be about how Ariana made up finding this video and decided to spread it just to get drum up interest in the season. But I don't think that's what she's going to say. I don't think that's what the allegations are. So why even bring this up?
I mean, Ariana did, I think by her own admission, contact producers right away when she figured out what was going on. But that's way different than Ariana knowing about it and the whole time during the season and then saying, save it for the next season.
But I don't understand, like, I don't understand why any of this has to be said, because she could still have a claim for revenge porn and all the other things without saying that it was a crafted storyline. She doesn't need any, like, this, it doesn't make any sense.
I think it's trying to get ahead of the backlash for also suing Ariana and putting things out there for people to speculate about as to what Ariana did or didn't know, and, you know, hoping maybe that the tide of public opinion turns against Ariana. I don't know.
I mean, they also just could have been like, you know, Ariana may not have intended anything maliciously, but she did it. You know what I mean?
They right. Don't, yeah, I don't.
To craft this whole story is
yeah
a little pointless.
But it just doesn't, it doesn't make sense to me logically. Why would you kiss Tom Schwartz and do that mm-hmm. misdirection?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Aside from the fact that it doesn't help her claims, it makes yeah. no sense.
It also doesn't make sense. Why did you make us watch you kiss Tom Schwartz?
Right.
Why get Katie so upset? Why was that necessary if this is all part of a conspiracy? Okay, so finally we get into subsection B, which says Sandoval and Ariana record and distribute illicit videos of Rachel. On or about March 1st, 2023, Sandoval was performing with his cover band at Tom Tom in West Hollywood when his phone purportedly fell from his pocket and slid, unlocked or otherwise fully accessible, into the crowd. It was reportedly retrieved by an attendee and handed over to Ariana, who searched it and found sexually explicit videos of Rachel.
Rachel is informed and believes, and on such information and belief alleges, so there's that language again, where I don't have any proof myself, but I was told maybe that the explicit videos were recorded by Sandoval without her knowledge or consent in or around February 2023. The two videos Rachel has seen depict her in a state of undress and masturbating. However, given Sandoval's apparent practice of secretly recording their video calls, Rachel has every reason to assume there are additional illicit videos and or photographs of her that she has not yet seen.
So I'm curious because I'm an Android person and I have no shame about that. But on an...
it's so annoying for certain I know you, things.
I know other people hate it, but I have no shame. So I love my Android. Come at me if you want. I don't care. I'm curious. FaceTime, did he just screen record it? Or can you? Do you have a setting where you can automatically record your FaceTime calls? Or how does that work?
I don't know. Should I try it with Avery?
Yeah.
I've never tried. I mean, I was FaceTiming my friend Sharon yesterday, but I had no reason to start recording her. Yeah. So I don't think I actually don't like FaceTime. Should I just try it with him?
Yeah. Yeah. Just see. I'm just curious. Just setting on Zoom, but Zoom also lets you know yeah. that everyone is being recorded.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. I'm just trying to test something because the whole allegation is that he recorded their FaceTime without consent. So I'm trying to see if it's possible to do without you knowing. So I just took a photo, right? Did you get that notification? Okay.
It says you took a FaceTime photo.
Okay, now let me see. I'm going to start screen recording and let me know if it tells you anything. Okay. Can you tell that I'm recording you right now?
No.
No. So I am recording him. So it's like a screen recording. Do you see that?
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. So you have no indication that I'm recording you right now.
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Thanks, Avery.
All right. He's watching his stories, as he likes to call it. He's watching, I think, Masters of the Air, it's called.
Oh.
Woo. All right. So, yeah, that's crazy. You can yeah. just screen record.
Yeah. Not cool. Also, I think it's completely fair for her to be nervous that he may have other videos or other things, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And I think she's well within her right to bring this lawsuit for him recording her without her knowledge, if that's what happened.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Do you remember from the cease and desist letter if she asked for the videos to be destroyed for anyone?
We never saw a copy of it.
Oh, okay.
We tried to get a copy, but we didn't get a copy.
Because I was curious about that because, you know, if she gets a court order to, say, do a forensic examination of people's phones, then, but they're like, well, I got the cease and desist letter, so I deleted everything, so I don't have it. Then, you know, they couldn't get in trouble for spoliation of evidence because she told them to delete it.
Yeah, but I doubt any of them had it forensically cleared, you know?
Yeah, I know. You can still recover stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so Rachel is informed and believes, and on such information and belief, alleges that Ariana obtained at least two illicit videos of Rachel and distributed them and or showed them to others without Rachel's knowledge or consent. At a minimum, Ariana circulated the illicit videos to herself and Rachel. She also immediately informed production about what she had found. In addition, many other individuals have demonstrated intimate familiarity with the contents, leading Rachel to believe the circle of recipients is wider.
Mm-hmm. But even so, even if people received it, that doesn't constitute revenge porn. It's the person that's sending it.
Yeah.
And if she has proof, yeah, like I said, that Ariana sent it to herself and then also sent it to Rachel, those are distributions, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I think the definition of the statute would probably agree with that too. Just the plain reading of it.
All right. Rachel's battered after Maddox steals and sends illicit videos. On the night of March 1st, Rachel was in New York with another cast member, Sheena Shea, taping Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. Having finished filming, Rachel and Sheena were at a bar when Rachel received a text from Ariana saying, quote, "You are dead to me." I think it said more because she put a bracket here around the period. So I think there was more said that is not included. Alongside the message were the two videos of Rachel that Ariana had reportedly discovered and on Sandoval's phone. Rachel experienced a swirl of emotions in response, including shock and fear. Shock because she did not know Sandoval had recorded pornographic videos of her. Fear because these videos were now in the hands of someone who hated her guts and was out for blood. She was terrified Ariana would leak them on the internet. I think it's a reasonable fear.
That, to me, makes total sense that you would be nervous about that. Someone who you did something terrible to, someone who was reportedly one of your very close friends, and then they found out about it. I mean, it's, you know, it makes me think of Garcelle sending that email to everyone in her ex-husband's contact list when she found out he was cheating, you know? I mean, that wasn't illegal, but it's just, you know, you get, it's understandable that somebody would have a reaction and react emotionally and not rationally to finding this information on their phone.
This reminds me of something.
What?
It just like sparked a memory, and I'll probably cut this out, but in college I was seeing this guy, but not seriously, but then was like cheating on me. It was a whole thing, and we had this sorority listserv, so I just sent out a PSA about him to the entire sorority listserv.
You're just doing your community service there. It was letting everyone
know. Exactly. It's like, beware.
My favorite was that TikTok scandal where that one guy, like West Elm, what's his name, had been sending the same exact responses, pictures, stories, everything to, he literally had just like a playbook he would follow. And all the women on TikTok were posting it, and they're like, "I got this from so-and-so, West End Caleb," or whatever.
Like, I haven't seen that.
That happened like a while ago. It was you can't get away with doing that stuff anymore because the ladies are going to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Reacting to the revelation in apparent shock and anger, Sheena Shea violently assaulted Rachel, shoving her aggressively into a brick wall, punching her in the face, and throwing her phone into the street. The blow to Rachel's face caused a rupture above her left eyebrow and severe swelling and bruising above her left eye. Rachel was told by a treating physician that her busted brow would permanently scar. Shaken, Rachel flew home the next day and informed her family of what was happening. This is just bringing up the memories of Sheena doing her, you know, evidence testimony showing how she can't make a fist with her long nails.
Yeah, that actually won Scandoval moment at the Crappies. And Sheena was there to accept her award. But yeah, if the fist can't close, you must acquit. But again, this has nothing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, the next section. Bravo and Evolution capitalize on Scandoval and cover up defendants' illegal acts. News of the affair and its aftermath, dubbed Scandoval, broke on March 3rd, today, 2023, when TMZ first reported on the affair. The initial reporting was quickly followed by a torrent of follow-up stories. By March 4th, tabloids had already begun reporting on the pornographic videos of Levis, citing unnamed sources. So here's another footnote. This is from People.com, how Ariana Maddox learned Tom Sandoval was cheating on her with Raquel Levis.
Although filming for season 10 had already wrapped, Bravo and Evolution had a camera crew ready to shoot the next day. Scandoval captured the public's attention in a massive way, went completely viral, and injected new life into Vanderpump Rules. It also caused mayhem in Rachel's life, culminating in a months-long inpatient treatment at a mental health facility and her departure from the show. Fomented by Bravo and Evolution in conjunction with the cast, Rachel was subject to a public skewering with little precedent and became, without exaggeration, one of the most hated women in America.
On March 4th, the day after the news of the affair broke, production directed Rachel to film with Sandoval at her Los Angeles apartment. With cameras rolling, she confronted Sandoval for secretly recording pornographic videos of her and storing them unprotected on his phone. Sandoval had not only invaded her privacy and breached her trust, but had left her enormously vulnerable to a nightmare scenario of the videos leaking on the internet. Sandoval responded to Rachel's fury with cowardice and lies, claiming falsely that he had obtained permission to record her. Seeing that Rachel was having none of it, however, he ultimately offered a reluctant admission and a sheepish apology. I mean, this is the star of the complaint, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, if that's on video, that, and he apologizes and it was recorded and Bravo has that video somewhere, that's very relevant to her claims here. And that's wow.
Tom was clearly rattled after filming ended. An erratic and unsettled Tom refused to leave Rachel's apartment in spite of her requests. She was forced to have her sister and brother-in-law pick her up and drive her to their home. That day, Rachel retained an attorney to mitigate the risk of the illicit videos leaking. Once at her sister's home, Rachel turned off her phone for 2 days, hoping the heat would die down.
I mean, I can see Tom not wanting Rachel to be sort of out of his sight, because especially after reading that New York Times piece on him and hearing some of the things Ariana has now said about how he, you know, was like, don't say this, don't do this, and wanted to control a narrative. I can definitely see him wanting to, especially with as huge as this is and his, you know, how it's affecting Tom, wanting to keep control over her and the narrative by keeping her in his sight. However, media reports suggest Sandoval was in a panic over the on-camera confrontation with Rachel. Specifically, he was concerned that being accused of recording non-consensual pornography would paint him in a negative light. Sandoval reportedly threatened to cease all further filming for the show unless he was granted editing rights over the scene. Shockingly, Bravo and Evolution obliged his demand. The scene was selectively edited to omit any mention of Sandoval's illicit recording or Rachel's lack of consent. And then they quote an EET Online story, Vanderpump Rules star Tom Sandoval threatens to stop filming after scene with Rachel. What do you think about that?
It makes sense. That's why it's not in there.
Yeah. This was part of a pattern and practice of, again, this makes it sound like she's making claims against Bravo, but she did not mention yet. Whenever you see pattern and practice, it's of Bravo.
Oh, unless they're one of the does.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Of Bravo and Evolution throwing Rachel under the bus in favor of Sandoval. Recording someone engaged in sex acts without their consent is a crime, and Sandoval appears to have admitted it on camera. Well, appears. Like, did he or did he not? I mean, she was saying she was there and they were recording, but...
Right.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Legal team. Have you guys been on Quince's website recently? I shopped on there like 3 years ago for the first time and bought myself a bunch of cashmere sweaters. I lived in the black cashmere sweater, lived in it. And I hadn't shopped on there for a while because my cashmere sweaters lasted for a really long time. But I decided to go back on there and oh my gosh, have they completely expanded everything that they offer. The workwear, they have washable silk, And I mean, it's so affordable. I also shared with you all that I'm recently engaged and I'm in the middle of wedding planning. So anytime I'm shopping, I'm thinking about wedding. And they have everything I need for the wedding. I just booked my honeymoon. We're going to go to Southeast Asia. It's going to be hot there. And I've been looking for good linen pieces. Guess what? Quince has good linen pieces and they start at only $30. Then I'm like, okay, we need to get our wedding bands. You know who has fine jewelry now? 14 karat gold, Quince. So I send the link to Avery and I'm like, you have to get your wedding band from here. It's affordable and it looks just like any other wedding band. I mean, it looks great. Another thing I'm doing, again, I have a wedding on the brain. I want to look my best. So I'm like, okay, I really want cute little matching sets to go work out in. It's the only way I can get motivated. I have to like wear a cute little matching set. And I've gotten really into Pilates. And guess what? Quince has the matching sets. They look identical to matching sets I've already purchased from another sports brand. They have the same thing and at a fraction of the cost. I was able to get two tops and one pair of pants for the same price that I could only get one set at this other sportswear place. I mean, come on. Quince is just killing it. If you've shopped there before, it's time to go back on again. They have just completely expanded the categories of goods that they have to offer. They're not just all about cashmere sweaters anymore. They have got a ton of stuff, and I highly recommend you go check it out. If you're ready to go try out Quince, go to quince.com/docket to get free shipping and 365-day returns. That is quince.com/docket to get free shipping and 365-day returns. That is an amazing guarantee on their goods. So go check it out. I highly recommend it, guys.
Portraying the confrontation as it actually occurred instead of protecting sleazy, really, instead of protecting sleazy Sandoval, that's, by the way, that's not us adding that. That's in the complaint that was filed with the court. Instead of protecting sleazy Sandoval would not only have been truthful, it would have been good television. But Bravo and Evolution had apparently decided that Rachel would be their sacrificial lamb. Throughout the ordeal, they have sanitized the story to ensure Rachel would be seen as the arch-villain.
Yeah, this makes it seem like they're going to add Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
On March 7th, Rachel's attorney sent out cease and desist letters to the cast regarding the distribution of the non-consensual illicit videos. The letters promptly leaked. Wait, did they? I guess I'm going to click on this link and try and get it. Rachel also filed a police report and applied for a temporary restraining order against Sheena, the cast member who had assaulted her on March 1st. Well, let's find this. I know we had talked about the cease and desist letter in an episode, but I don't remember us seeing it. Because I remember, yeah, that was the send it to Daryl time. And I was like, yo, Lala, you want to email it to us?
Yeah, we asked. I remember we were trying to ask for it. I think parts of it were read online, but I don't recall ever seeing a copy of it.
Oh, okay. Here we go. So this is the TMZ article. It says the letter warns any distribution of the recording, whether posted on social media or forwarded to another person, would be a violation. It doesn't include an accusation of Tom illegally recording the conversation, but sources who have seen the video tell us it's only the two of them on the call. So people did see it. The lawyers order anyone in possession of the recording to promptly delete it from their phones, the cloud, or, quote, any other manner or method in which the recording may exist. The letter ended with stern words of caution. This matter should be taken very seriously.
Hmm.
But someone else seeing it isn't distribution, is it?
I think the way that was defined, it caused it to be displayed.
So yeah. If someone, like if Ariana had it on her phone and then showed a cast member.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Despite initially bragging about having punched Rachel, Sheena began to adamantly deny it in the public. She accused Rachel of lying and abusing the court system. This was in spite of Sheena's own private and televised admissions of guilt and Rachel's visible facial injuries. But Sheena is not a party to this lawsuit either.
No.
Somebody posted on Reddit saying, tongue-in-cheek, saying, has anyone checked with Sheena about how she's doing?
Yeah, I saw that. Gosh, it was so funny at the Crappies. They always do a toast to like start off the night. And they're like, okay, Sheena, you're on stage. Like, lead us in this toast. And she was like, to season 11 of Vanderpump Rules. And everyone was like, wait, like, no, you're supposed to toast to the whatever annual Crappies, you know?
Yeah.
She was like, to season 11 of Vanderpump Rules. It's like, wait.
Good as gold.
It was like the perfect toast. Anyway. By March 10th, Rachel had decided to check herself into a mental health facility. Sandoval, for his part, tried to talk her out of it and begged her to participate in the reunion. Rachel reluctantly agreed to wait on the condition that a mental health professional be on set in case things got out of hand, given her fragile mental state and the fury brewing amongst the cast. Bravo agreed, then changed its mind. Rachel then requested her publicist and confidant, Juliet Harris, be permitted to attend. Bravo agreed, then again changed its mind. By that point, the reunion was the next day, too soon for her to pull out, and she had no reasonable alternative but to participate. She also feared the legal implications of refusing to appear, given the draconian terms of her contract, and so she did, but without the support she felt she needed and that Bravo had previously offered to provide.
At the same time, press coverage was slanted decidedly against Rachel, who became an object of scorn and ridicule. Other cast members were vilifying her in interviews and waging a public campaign against her on social media. They could not have done so without the blessing of Bravo, which pre-approves all cast media appearances and exercises tight control over public messaging. Well, could they exercise tighter control over people just saying stuff like cast on social media? I'm so over it.
I know.
Ugh. Bravo had clearly decided this feeding frenzy was good for ratings. Various cast members in Bravo also released their own Scandoval merchandise to cash in on the explosion of interest, including an I Survived Scandoval long sleeve t-shirt currently available for sale on Bravo's website. And then they have a link to shopbybravo.com/Vanderpump Rules, I Survived Scandoval long sleeve t-shirt.
I think that's a great point.
Doesn't really have anything to do with her.
Nothing to do with, yeah.
The current legal claims she's trying to make, but.
Yeah. It is clear that Bravo deliberately sacrificed Rachel for the sake of its commercial interests from its refusal to allow her the opportunity to tell her side of the story and defend herself, which she repeatedly begged for permission to do. Without exception, her pleas fell on deaf ears. As a result of this asymmetrical coverage, the public was not made aware of the extent to which Rachel was victimized by the ordeal or the toll it was taking on her mental state. As the feeding frenzy reached a crescendo, Rachel was subjected to a gag order prohibiting her from discussing Sandoval's gross invasion of her privacy, Ariana's vengeful response, Bravo's cover-up, or the veracity of her allegations of physical assault against Sheena, who was publicly calling her a liar, accusing her of playing the victim and being falsely backed up by others. In sum, while the rest of the cast savaged Rachel's reputation and lied about her in the press, drumming up not only interest in Vanderpump Rules, but also hatred of her, Rachel herself was involuntarily silent, muzzled by Bravo for the sake of its ratings. While all of this may have been good for ratings, it was catastrophic for Rachel, the human being, who was forced into hiding and subjected to death threats directed at her and her family. Sandoval, on the other hand, received a development deal from Bravo for a job well done, along with a pay raise.
What? I mean, she says she was subjected to a gag order, but she doesn't, there's no exhibits or evidence to what is she basing that on?
And but also, again, that has nothing to do with the claims.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, this reads like a lawsuit against Bravo.
Yeah, it does. It does. She's subjected to a gag order prohibiting her from discussing. That isn't couched with any lawyer language, like upon information and belief, or she believed. It said she was subjected to a gag. Like, but that's also a colloquial term. Like, it's like, what are they talking about here?
Well, also, maybe they're not specifying because Bravo's not a party to this yet.
That hasn't stopped them from being detailed about other things.
I know, but I'm just saying maybe they'll attach it if they ever add Bravo. Yeah.
And also, what is this development deal that Sandoval got? More info on that.
I don't know. Like, she should have, if he's writing this out, like, she should have just done it too.
It makes a lot of sense to me that she would need to actually take a break from this and do mental health treatment.
Oh, no, it's smart that she did that. Yeah, but yeah. Everyone is profiting off of this except for her, it seems.
Yeah. As expected, the reunion was a train wreck for Rachel of epic proportions. With full knowledge of her then dire mental state, Bravo and Andy Cohen took no steps to mitigate Rachel's abuse, even as Cohen himself expressed concern about her mental health going into the reunion. And then they quote a Page Six article. Andy Cohen thinks, or not quote, but they cite to it. Andy Cohen thinks Raquel Leviss was medicated at the Vanderpump Rules reunion. One fellow cast member, Katie Maloney, had been openly threatening to light her on fire. Another, Sheena Shea, had violently assaulted her. During the reunion itself, Rachel was on the receiving end of unrelenting missives, quote, diabolical, demented, subhuman, a, quote, poo-poo head, quote, F yourself with a effing cheese grater, you effing suck, you're disgusting, and I wish nothing but the worst effing shit that could ever happen to a person on you, end quote. And as she was berated, abused, and dehumanized by the rest of the cast, above all, Ariana, Rachel remained largely silent and stoic in apparent shock. Cohen later remarked, glibly, that he, quote, did not know how long she would last on set and chalked up her apparent stoicism to being, quote, really medicated. But Cohen and Bravo already knew that Rachel was indeed medicated, something neither surprising nor remotely funny in light of what was happening to her.
Sorry, I was only laughing at Poo-Poo Head.
Like, I know.
The fact that that's in here.
Again, these Bravo-related complaints always have something I've never read before in a complaint.
Right. I'm just frustrated by all of this because, again, it has nothing to do with the recording and the video.
This is a tactic that's used commonly by attorneys.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's what I was saying earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, let's confuse the issues and tell a narrative and, you know.
All right, Bravo and Evolution sabotage Rachel's recovery.
And again, they're not named parties to the lawsuit currently.
Mm-mm. By the time of the reunion, Rachel was utterly battered physically and mentally. And shortly thereafter, she checked into a mental health treatment facility and remained there for 3 months. Even in treatment, however, Rachel could not escape from the claws of Bravo and Evolution. She was warned repeatedly by them not to breach her confidentiality obligations, which contain no exceptions for medical treatment or therapy. As a result, Rachel was fearful of facing legal repercussions for her honesty and was forced to walk on eggshells. This caused her extreme stress and severely stunted her progress in treatment.
I understand that they would be warning her not to breach her confidentiality obligations, but the way this is worded doesn't say that they specifically told her she couldn't speak to her therapists or medical providers.
I think many of them have therapists.
Yeah. And they're not quoting anything specifically here from her contracts, like even just a small portion of it to support this.
And still, this has nothing to do with that.
Right. Unfortunately, that did nothing to stop the vitriol. When Rachel checked into treatment, she gave her dog, Graham, to her parents for safekeeping. Graham was traumatized by years of abuse at the hands of James Kennedy and was not an easy dog to manage. After a number of incidents, including one in which he bit Rachel's mom down to the bone and caused her permanent nerve damage, keeping Graham became untenable. Rachel's family handed him over to a no-kill rescue organization and requested its discretion given the intense public scrutiny of Rachel. Instead of rehoming Graham as promised, the rescue organization, knowing full well that James Kennedy had a history of animal abuse, contacted Lisa Vanderpump, who gave Graham back to James Kennedy.
She's not suing the rescue.
My attorney brain is now concerned for Allie and James. Like, they own a house now. If Graham is a known biter and he bites someone else, they're going to get sued because they knew that he had the propensity to do that, notice of this.
All of them, with Bravo's blessing, then seeded a false and malicious narrative that Rachel had tried to get the dog put down. At around this time, rumors were circulating, also seeded by Bravo and the cast, that Rachel was actually on vacation and had faked her hospitalization. Illustrating the depths of its moral turpitude, Bravo refused to publicly acknowledge that Rachel was, in fact, in inpatient mental health treatment, presumably for fear such disclosure would undermine the storyline. Not only would they not do so, they prohibited Rachel, through her publicist, from doing so. All of this caused even more public scorn of Rachel, further unjustified harm to her reputation, and increased threats to her and her family's physical safety.
I find it difficult to believe that Bravo would tell her publicist that her publicist wasn't allowed to say that she was in mental health treatment. And I thought they did say that, in fact.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I don't know when she ended her contract, but she must have not re-signed or something. Like, she's not on the show anymore. So how much real say did Bravo have in her life at this time? This is a different lawsuit.
And this has nothing to do with any of the claims that are being made. This also appears to hurt her causation damages claims to me, because
they're showing a bunch of other sources.
Yeah, a bunch of other sources of emotional and mental trauma and emotional distress, but also the jury instructions that we read from the California pattern jury instructions are pretty specific, that the specific dissemination of the materials that were supposed to be private has to be a specific cause of the emotional harm and trauma and damages. So bringing up all of these other actors and everything else that had nothing to do with this is not it's not helpful to like the actual legal claim she's currently trying to make.
Yeah, I mean, definitely for the revenge porn statute, but she could still get the $5,000 for every recording that Tom took. That doesn't require any link to harm. But seriously, I think it's very well written, but I just think this is a different lawsuit. Like if Bravo was named in this and this, if this was an employment lawsuit, this is great. Great lawsuit. The other part of it, which I mean, all the causes of action are about the video. If they would have put in all of this effort into the video and what happened with that, and they could have discussed the relationship and the affair and all of that, and then mentioned the video and then the fallout of it. And it would have been a much tighter, shorter complaint, but it would have made sense. This is two different, maybe three different, four different. It's like one against Sheena, one against Bravo, one against James, and then one against Ariana and Tom.
Yeah, I would be emotionally traumatized if someone abused one of my pets, you know, and it's like she's bringing up so many different things and potential causes of her emotional distress just in her own complaint. It's really muddying the issues for the claim she's ostensibly actually trying to make.
She had enough for the revenge porn and it should have just focused on that.
Maybe also they're trying to get ahead of it because they know by filing this that they're going to come back and be like, this was all, any emotional trauma she had was caused by something else, and they're just showing how it's all connected. I don't know. Okay. In short, Rachel has been battered and broken irrevocably in service of a salacious storyline. Unsurprisingly, Bravo and Evolution badly wanted for her to return for season 11. However, it was abundantly clear that they completely failed to understand or appreciate the toll Scandoval had taken her. They warned her, and this is in parentheses, unironically, that she must return to avoid having her story told by others, and reaffirmed her prohibition against speaking to the press on her own terms. But the depths of her mistreatment in season 10 went far beyond what is acceptable even in reality television, and Rachel knew that returning to the show meant risking a descent back into the depths of despair from which she had just emerged.
Meanwhile, everybody else got what they wanted. Vanderpump Rules remains on the air, continuing to milk the storyline Rachel catalyzed. Sandoval emerged with significantly higher pay and a development deal with Bravo. Ariana has become a bona fide darling of pop culture, has a new boyfriend, and is starring on Broadway. For Rachel, the future is less rosy. She brings this suit to vindicate her legal rights, if not to restore her sullied reputation.
Well,
what? That's not what she should be bringing this lawsuit for.
I feel like
that's not
good. That's uh-uh. That's a problem that is specifically stated in the complaint in writing that was filed and signed by her counsel, saying that there are other motivations explicitly for filing this lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, they should have just kept this tight and focused, and it would have been strong.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she could have put all of this out in a letter or a statement.
No? Right. And that's another point. So she keeps saying that she was silenced, but you referenced the Rolling Stone article at the beginning of this. She gave an interview about a lot of stuff that happened during Scandoval back in August 2023.
And she has her podcast now. And yeah. All right. The first cause of action, we've already talked about these. And this is against Sandoval and Does 1 through 50 inclusive. And that's the eavesdropping. So now that we've read the complaint, how do you feel about the eavesdropping thing?
I think this is her strongest cause of action.
Yeah. It says, you know, unbeknownst to Rachel and without her consent, Sandoval surreptitiously recorded their communications, and that Rachel had an objectively reasonable expectation that these communications were private and objectively believed that they were not being recorded. At no point prior to the confidential communications was Rachel informed that Sandoval was recording their communications, nor did Sandoval obtain Rachel's consent to be recorded. Rachel alleges that Sandoval acted with regard to the eavesdropping, that Sandoval acted with oppression, fraud, and malice, or alternatively, that Sandoval acted in such conscious disregard of Rachel's right to privacy that as a direct and proximate result of his collective and individual acts, Rachel is entitled to punitive damages in an amount to be determined at trial to punish him and to deter such conduct in the future. I mean, she could have just alleged the facts that support the specific claim she's making and then said that. And I think everybody would have been
exactly
100% yes. On her side for this, right. You know,
the rest and then was not needed.
She could have just talked about the narrative that was discussed on her podcast. Although I guess depending on what her contract says and how long that supposedly lasts and what parts are enforceable, maybe she felt her attorneys advised her that a lawsuit was the only way to really get all of this out and be able to talk about it without it.
Probably.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Again, I'd love to see a copy of those contracts.
Okay, so the second cause of action, like we discussed, it's the revenge porn statute, and this one's against Ariana. And just to reiterate, so she says there were sexually explicit videos of Raquel that Maddox discovered on March 1st on Tom's phone. They depict her in a state of undress and engaged in a sexual act within the meaning of the statute. Tom recorded the videos without her knowledge or consent, and she had a reasonable expectation of privacy that their private communications were not being recorded and would stay private. She's informed and believe that Ariana obtained the videos from Tom's phone without Tom's authorization. She believes that Ariana distributed and disseminated the videos to others, including but not limited to Ariana herself, Rachel, and other individuals whose identities are not currently known to Rachel. She believes that Ariana displayed the videos or disclosed their contents to individuals who may not have received them directly, including but not limited to Bravo, Evolution, members of the Vanderpump Rules cast, and other individuals whose identities are not currently known to Rachel. She was not aware that such videos had been captured by Tom and thus could not have consented to their distribution.
I mean, I think it's reasonable for Rachel to be concerned that Ariana showed the videos to Bravo, because I would see the producers being like, well, how did you know this happened? And she's like, well, I found videos on the phone and look, see, you know, like I can see that chain of events very quickly getting set into action and producers not perhaps realizing that this is a crime.
And Ariana not realizing.
Ariana as well.
Yeah.
Rachel has suffered grave emotional, psychological, financial, and reputational harm as a result of Ariana's distribution, dissemination, and publicization of the illicit videos. And she says the illicit videos were recorded when she was in a private residence where her reasonable expectation of privacy was at its zenith. I mean, she says that Ariana knew or should have known that Rachel had a reasonable expectation of privacy such that sexually explicit footage of her recorded without her knowledge or consent would not be obtained without authorization, but blah, blah, blah. But I mean, Ariana didn't, there was really no way for Ariana to know that Tom had recorded those without Rachel's consent. She just found them on Tom's phone, right?
True, but isn't it just automatically known that if there's a video not sent to you?
Well, I agree with that. I just mean,
there was no way for Ariana to know that she didn't consent to Tom recording it.
Yeah, that's all I was
trying
to say.
But she definitely didn't consent to Ariana seeing it. So correct. It almost doesn't matter.
Yeah.
All right, then the next one's invasion of privacy. And not to repeat everything, but it's basically the same as causes of action 1 and 2. Then the next one, fourth cause of action, intentional infliction of emotional distress. So she alleges that in doing the things and acts described herein, Tom and Ariana engaged in extreme and outrageous conduct that transcended the bounds of human decency. She said that the emotional distress that she suffered includes physical manifestations of emotional distress, anxiety, shock, embarrassment, loss of self-esteem, disgrace, humiliation, powerlessness, sleeplessness, and loss of enjoyment of life. Her severe emotional distress prevents her from performing daily activities and obtaining the full enjoyment of life. She said that she has been and will continue to be damaged in an amount to be proven at trial, including but not limited to emotional distress, anxiety, fear, physical injuries, medical expenses, and financial losses, all in amounts according to proof and in excess of the jurisdictional minimum of this court. Wait, is she trying to connect the punch that she received from Sheena and like the injury she received to these videos being distributed? I think she might be saying that if not for Ariana.
Well, yeah, because that was a direct
Sheena about it. yeah. she wouldn't have gotten punched.
That was a direct result of Ariana sending the videos. But Rachel was the one that told Sheena, according to Rachel's own statements, Rachel told Sheena what was going on.
Right. So it's a little bit removed.
Yeah, it's a little muddy there.
Okay. Before we end, I do want to play what Ariana said on Sheena's podcast about all this. And it's a sped up clip. People are sharing it sped up. I don't know why. Maybe to reach the minimum on Instagram Reels, but it's like very fast. Anyway, I'm going to play it.
I have not shown, I know, or sent that video. I don't have it. I did not hold on to it for any reason. It wasn't sent to the iCloud. No. So that video was gone mm-hmm. before I ever even called her on the phone.
Yeah.
And just so everyone knows, I saw about maybe 5 seconds of that. I wasn't sitting there like opening popcorn for the night. So I know that she said that it's like that people know about what's in it. It's very simple.
Yeah. I mean, you not told
I'm not going to get into the details, but there's not a lot of details. It's very right. straightforward.
So it's like, I would love to see her name, the people, you know, who have supposedly seen this.
Well, that's the thing is it's just like, it's really fucked up to try to even, the other thing is that my lawyer made all of that very clear. The second that she said, when she sent a cease and desist to the entire cast as a precaution, definitely think that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Think that's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Totally understand why that would be sent out. Great precaution to take. You should take that precaution. Mm-hmm. My lawyer responded to said precaution with very thorough, very clear information mm-hmm. that proved and showed. It's like, absolutely not. Here you go. Here's proof. All this stuff, right? Mm-hmm.
And I think regardless of anything, we can all agree if she was recorded without her consent, like that is a big issue.
That is a big issue. Know? And that is something that she should address with him directly
and leave you alone.
That's a good response. One thing I do want to talk about, because I think people have a lot of questions. One, they're worried about Ariana having to deal with this and potentially pay damages and whatnot. What are her damages? If she can argue for past economic loss, which is lost earnings, lost profits, medical expenses. So maybe one of the justifications that Rachel's lawyers have for putting all of this stuff in the complaint is they're going to say, well, she was too emotionally traumatized due to these behaviors to go back on the show. So she lost her income from there. Then she had medical expenses from the inpatient treatment and, you know, other past economic losses that would be probably difficult to prove. But if she had deals that got canceled, but, you know, it's going to be, I mean, they can claim they put all this stuff in here because it's relevant to damages. There, again, this could be difficult to prove, in my opinion, because how do you separate out the emotional distress from everyone disliking you because you cheated on, you know, because you had sex with your good friend's longtime boyfriend in his house, as opposed to the actual dissemination of the video. But I guess this whole thing started because Ariana found the video and saw it.
Right.
Yeah. She can also make claims for future economic loss, lost earnings, lost profits, all of that. If she has experts that say she's going to need continued medical treatment in the future, she can make those claims. And then there's also non-economic loss, which is physical pain, mental suffering, and then that can be past and future.
Right. I mean, I think she has strong claims. I don't think the complaint really supported all of them, but, and that's me not knowing the specifics of what happened, just what's alleged in here.
Yeah. I mean, as far as like the actual real legal causes of action that she has alleged and not all of the other stuff against Tom, she has what sounds like some fairly strong claims.
Right. All right. That's that for now.
For now. And again, this is a complaint. This is one side of a story. We're not saying this is the end of it at all. We also hear you, legal team. We are trying to keep up with everything and we are going to keep putting out content on all of the stuff that's going on in the Bravo world.
All right. Thank you for listening. And until
thanks,
next
legal
time.
Team.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Temper Adapt Collection at Ashley, in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
The Bravo Docket is part of the Acast Creator Network.